Welcome to the Power Players Talk Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your host, Chris Molinari. Up close and personal conversations with powerful and successful people who give our listeners the inside look on what it takes to move from average and ordinary to the top of your game. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Power Players Talk Show on buildingfortunesradio.com. Now, on to our show with your host, Chris Molinari.
Hello and welcome to our show, and of course, as you know, this is Power Players Talk, and normally I do a short intro about the show, but I'm just going to go right into welcoming my guest who has been here many, many times, and his name's Mark Hankins, and he's an attorney, but he's way more than that, and today we're going to have a really great discussion, and so Mark, I'm just introducing you. Welcome to the call, or the show.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here, too. So today we're going to talk about, you know, what's going on in our country. And anyway, you know, I've sort of printed off some information for, I don't know if you've heard of Unconstrained Analytics, Stephen Coughlin and Richard Higgins. Have you heard of that?
I'm not familiar with those folks, no.
Okay. Well, Richard Higgins is a warfare expert and former National Security Council staff member. And I'm not quite sure what Stephen Coughlin does, but we can find out. It's not important at this moment. Anyway, last February, he actually published in Unconstrained Analytics, what's it called? Oh, Re-Remembering the Misremembered Left, the Left's Strategy and Tactics to Transform America. And in it, he says it argues that the left operates dialectically through weaponized attack narratives to destroy identity. It accomplishes this objective through targeted negation campaigns that seek the denial of individual, social, and national identity. In other words, they basically want to ruin our country. So with that being said, you know, maybe you could add some more about what you, you know, what you think the left's part in this whole nightmare is.
Well, of course, at the end of the effort that they're making, they don't want anybody to identify as anything but a communist. That's going to be what your identity is. That's going to be what your identity is supposed to be. If you identify as a Kurd, if you identify as a Uyghur, if you identify as a Jew, if you identify as a Christian, that is a huge problem. And they are trying to push down and eliminate every other identity possible. The American identity is one of the strongest identities there is, and they have attempted to erase the German identity, and in fact, they began to study identities because the German identity was so strong, and they did not understand why communism could not take root there when the Nazis rose. And of course, the Nazis rose in reaction to communism. Now, when communism gets strong enough, you need, in order to meet it, a reaction as violent, as heinous as the Nazis. We never want to go there. That's not what this country was built on. That's not what it was about. But it has to grab and hold on to its own values very quickly, or only a force like that can overcome what's going to happen.
What he's saying in this article, basically, also, is that the roots or the core of the whole thing is Marxist. And what they're doing is escalating intimidation and violence because they want it integrated into the narratives by design. And what he's calling racism, like a line of effort, is racism. That's what they've appropriated. The left has appropriated the racism line of effort, and they want to define all things American as racist, and they want to delegitimize anything that's American. And as they do this, you know, they're talking about white nationalism, white supremacy, white privilege, everything that's associated with white is going to be tied to white nationalism, white supremacy, white privilege, and therefore anything white is racist. And I actually posted something on Facebook today about Rutgers University. This is just really crazy as heck, I'm
telling
you.
They're de-emphasizing traditional grammar.
They are. They are.
I don't mean to step on you, but that's crazy.
It is crazy. So, in other words, the parents spend $60,000 or whatever to send their kids to Rutgers, and how are they even going to have an English lit department if they're going to completely delegitimize proper grammar and go for Ebonics? I mean, are white people
going to
be...
What's
going to
be lit is readable books.
Right.
They're
going
to light the readable books on fire and only allow things that are unreadable to be written.
Oh,
but
yeah,
the,
because they're
the
even...
The thing that you
I
have
the whole
to realize...
Thing. Go ahead.
It's probably wrong to blame Marx for where we have gotten to, because Marx confined himself largely to the realm of economics. Well, we have a situation in the developed world where most people are not suffering the way that people suffered in Marx's era. So what we had was Herbert Marcuse, come along, and he redefined Marxism to the point where it became cultural Marxism, where everything that did not have the proper thought became evil and wrong and had to be destroyed, and dialectic had to be applied to it. So really, you need to look more at Marcuse than Marx. And Marcuse wrote prolifically against materialism in the sense of wanting to have more things, and wrote books like The One-Dimensional Man and so forth. Where
your phone's kind of breaking up a little bit.
I apologize. He said that people were not living properly. They were living these lifestyles, these suburban lifestyles, and he really reacted against that kind of thing. So Marcuse is the one to blame, and the Marcusians are the ones that are truly dangerous.
Well, so where would you put the left today? I mean, we've got AOC and that little crew, and they're progressive socialists, but they're come on. Bernie is completely communist. He's cloaking it in socialism, which is not true. And I even watched, or I think I even put an article on Facebook again about how, you know, the man on the street kind of thing, where this young man was at several universities and asking the students about that he would meet outside what they think about socialism. And they kept saying, oh, it's great and we should have that. And then he'd say, why? And they wouldn't know why. And they wouldn't even know what socialism was. And so people are going to be voting for something, you know, for hopefully not, that would bring socialism, but they think it's great and it's actually not. So how do we even get that information out there before November? There's no way we can even do that.
The thing that has to be shown to people, that people have to understand, is this routinely and almost always ends in a pile of skulls. And that is the socialism that you're told soon takes off its sheep's clothing and its hardcore communism. And in fact, Marx said the goal of socialism is communism. He almost called the book The Socialist Manifesto, and it was pretty much a coin flip to him to put the word communism on it. So these are the same ideas that go back to the French Revolution. And the French Revolution, we know, ended very badly with, you know, a certain number of people's heads cut off. And then that turned out not to be enough. And we had to go after people who were not quite ideologically pure. And then there was a next whole group of people who were not quite ideologically pure. And eventually they tired of it, because you tire of a moving finger that can suddenly point at you. That's not a way to order a society, and that had to be stopped, and you had the Napoleonic era.
Well, here's what I keep running through my head. Okay, George Floyd, let's go back to the origins of Black Lives Matter, which was three women who came together, and I guess two of them were gay, or I'm not quite sure. But anyhow, they started Black Lives Matter because of First of all, it was to protect black lesbianism and black trans women from whatever. And then Ferguson happened. And so then they, I think it's someone behind them that was kind of funding them, not a lot in the first place, but said, hey, go to Ferguson and get some people, we'll get some people together. And they, you know, as they're continuing to do, they bust people in to Ferguson from other states and started marching. And then people started kind of seeing who Black Lives Matter was, but it still wasn't a huge deal. And then after Ferguson, you know, they were marching down the road saying, Black Lives Matter, you know, what do we want? Dead cops, when do we want them? Now. So then it went over to the cops. And then I guess it was George Soros or some of his other minions who started funding them and other people. And then we had now years later, and they never got huge until George Floyd. And then the George Floyd thing happened, and of course it was terrible, but I have my questions about that too, big questions. And I know someone that lives in Minnesota, he said they all have questions about it, and they kind of know. But anyway, so we have George Floyd, and then George Floyd, who, you know, let's be real, he was a criminal, a kind of a bad criminal. And all of a sudden, he gets flown around to three states for his funeral and has a golden casket. And, you know, like Al Sharpton, of course, and you know, Joe Biden does a video for him. And I mean, how did this even happen? And then all of a sudden, and they're saying it was organic, that all of this was organic, that millions of people all over the world, in London and all kinds of, you know, different countries and the United States, organically.
This was as organic as a box of Lucky Charms.
Oh, I know. That's, I know, let's absolutely true. I know. It was planned. I think they were just waiting for the perfect time.
But let's go back to Ferguson, and let's go back to Soros, because he had plenty of front organizations already operating. He's got between 160 and 200 of them in the States.
Right,
and if
right.
you look at what he has done, and he did it on the behalf of the United States across the world, he would go to a country, he would put organizations in there that would be for things that everybody, you know, most people would like. They were for equality. They were for this. They were for that. They were for these rights or that rights. And they would cause divisions within the society. The only one who seems to have really successfully resisted is Orban in Hungary and perhaps Poland as well. Poland is solidly Catholic and just will not change. But he would go to these countries and he would start this agitation. And in the meanwhile, he would be shorting the currency of the country, so the country would have balance of payments problems and so forth. He would create the revolution. The revolution would happen. The currency would then completely dive. He'd make the money on the short position on the currency. Then he would take the money he made. He would buy up the assets in the country on the cheap. So he would own the oil. He would own the mineral rights. He would own the factories. And he would, the country meanwhile would have fallen, and the U.S. would gain influence there. The CIA would gain influence there. He did it on our behalf multiple times. This country is the great white whale that he wants to bring down, and that's what he's trying to do. This is the work of his life, and he wants to finish his life's work before he dies. And his life's work is to bring down the United States. He is Ahab. It is the white whale.
Right.
And if he doesn't make it, he's got his kids primed to do it.
Oh, I know. His son.
So this man is a nightmare.
He is. He is. And I don't understand why somebody doesn't. He's been banned from several countries. And I don't know why we can't ban him from America. You know, like seize his assets in America or do something. But anyway, I have relatives and friends who, I mean, this is just insane. You know, let's kind of get to Antifa and Black Lives Matter together. That's not accidental either. I mean, that is absolutely not accidental. That was intentionally done. But anyway, I have friends that watch nothing but MSNBC and CNN, and relatives. makes it kind of tough on me. Anyway, I was watching, I guess it was early into the looting and pestilence and rioting and marching. And clearly it was Antifa that was doing most of the violence. But then it was a lot of black people that were looting, a few whites, but mostly blacks. And, of course, Black Lives Matter and other people say, well, that wasn't Black Lives Matter. And I actually have people that say to me, including a relative, that Antifa wasn't the one, wasn't the organization. They're good. They fight fascism. And it was white supremacists that were the ones that were doing all the violence. No, it wasn't. White supremacists wouldn't be doing anything for Black Lives Matter. So it's the narrative is just absolutely skewed and crazed because this is what they hear from the echo chamber that they hang out with and from CNN and MSNBC. And if I can just interject something real quick. When I was watching, I think it was in maybe it was Minneapolis or St. Louis, and they were going into stores and breaking windows and setting everything on fire and all of that, and there were people throwing, you know, these kind of like IEDs, but they're the flash bombs and just whatever, you know, and bricks. And so it was chaos. And Fox had reporters everywhere. And they kept going from one St. Louis to New York to Minneapolis. And it was all the same. It was complete chaos. And Antifa was going nuts, okay? So just out of curiosity, I switched over to MSNBC or CNN first, and then MSNBC, and there was a lone reporter on a side street, literally on some side street, and there were very few people walking up and down and saying, "See, it's calm. You know, the protesters have gone home, or you know, there's no violence going on, and what you're hearing from, you know, other stations or other networks is not true, and they're all peaceful." And I thought, this is really like, you know, opening the curtain and the wizard is there, you know, and it's a short little chubby guy with bald head. It's insane that they absolutely believe it. And there's no, you have no argument, because I don't want to argue anyway with them because they're families and friends. But I tried to send them information. Oh, this is fake. This is fake. So what are you going to do?
Well, let me tell you one thing that I think people are missing. And there is a certain element of, I want to say, police who in some cases instigate these things. And if you look back, they were caught at it, you know, I believe it was Toronto or Montreal in 2008. And what the reason they were caught at it is they had police issue boots on, and they were
right
with the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
They had a yellow bandana on, wrapped around one arm as a marker of who they were. And they were attempting to instigate things. In fact, they had rocks, and they had to be basically surrounded and yelled at to put down the rocks. There's an incident, there's a video of a man who was breaking windows out of an auto zone, and an African American was questioning him. This was a tall white man with an umbrella.
I saw that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Questioning him, why are you doing this? And the guy basically told the African American that he was going to beat him, that he was going to attack him. So the African-American desisted from following him around at some point. But this is done to get the riot to happen. And unless it has a darker purpose, and I'm not saying necessarily does not have a darker purpose, because we know that Soros has infiltrated police departments, and he's also infiltrated DAs. He's placed several DAs in various cities, including the one in St. Louis, who's trying to go after that couple who brandished the weapons.
Right.
But
right. These
people, if it's not Soros based, then what you have is, you know, we all know the familiar volunteer fireman who wants the fire department to have more business. And so he goes out and sets fires. He becomes an arsonist so that he justifies his own position. And I think the cops may in some case be doing that. I think in other cases, though, they are dancing to the globalist tune and they're told what they need to go do.
Well, take Portland, for instance. That's been going on for 56 days or something like that. And I, you know, I watch it every now and then, just not a lot, but just to see what the heck are they doing. And it's Antifa, but it's also Black Lives Matter. And you know, the narrative is that Black Lives Matter, they've been co-opted by white people, and they're not violent at all, and they don't riot. I don't think so, because they're there. They're doing it.
So
what is the purpose of destroying Portland?
We have to distinguish between Black Lives Matter, the Black Lives Matter, the slogan, and Black Lives Matter, the organization. And Black Lives Matter, the organization, is a money funnel to the Democratic candidates. And the candidates it's a money funnel to are all white. They're all white.
Right.
They're
right.
Biden. They're, you know, Pelosi, all these people. But if you look at what's going on in Portland, what they're trying to do in Portland is they're trying to get into the federal lockup and free the people in the federal lockup. Now, you say, well, what does that really matter? You know, 40 prisoners, you know, some people have been picked up for immigration violations, what have you. They're out. Big deal. Well, it's a very big deal. Because the moment that you break the government's monopoly, the moment that you get into a government facility like that, especially one where prisoners are kept, you destroy the narrative that the government is untouchable. And when you do that, the government is in grave danger of falling. If you recall, what started the French Revolution was the Bastille fell. That was the prison in Paris. They took that prison, and when they took that prison, the monarchy fell. This is what they're after. So you either maintain your monopoly on power and you use whatever force is necessary to stop the folks in Portland or whatever city it happens in, or, well, if you fail, you lose your legitimacy.
Right.
If you are too violent in succeeding, you lose your legitimacy. You're running on a razor's edge that may disappear in any moment, leaving you falling into the abyss.
Right. You know, Mark, we need to take just a real quick few seconds to have a commercial, and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Power Players Talk Show on Building Fortunes Radio with Chris Molinari. This special segment can be heard again anytime by going to www.buildingfortunesradio.com and clicking on the Power Players Talk Show radio segment. Listen in often and get to know Chris Molinari and her guests. Thanks for listening in. And now back to our show.
All righty, Chris Molinari and Mark Hankins here. And Mark, we only have about 6 minutes left, but, you know, let's just, I know what their end game is, but how does anyone do anything about it and stop it? Like Portland, how would, you know, I mean, of course, we're not police and we're not the government, but I mean, I just, you know, Portland will not allow, they don't want troops in there. And that's, to me, that's the only way to stop it.
Well, I know very well-meaning and very seemingly rational people who've been down there in Portland, in the city. They say there's nothing violent going on. We're, you know, feeding people dinner. We're advocating for pre-K for all children. We have put that on the ballot, and we're collecting, we were collecting petition signatures for it. Just, you know, innocent milk and cookies stuff. And here we got tear gassed. And that is their view of it, because they're not right there at the courthouse, at the federal building, where the damage is being done. So they are providing inadvertently, they don't realize what's really going on. They don't understand what is underlying all of the events that are happening. And they are their cover, their human shields. they are cannon fodder while these Antifa and other people go to work on breaking into that building. They've pulled down fences. They've been banging at doors. They have broken windows. They've covered the thing in graffiti. If they can get in there, that is the beginning of the end of this republic. And it's frightening.
Well, the mayor actually went down there. The Portland mayor was down there last night. And he got actually mobbed by Antifa. And then I guess it was when they got next to that building that tear gas started coming out. And so the mayor was, you know, like, oh, it's horrible. I'm not going to let these people do this anymore. And we're going to get rid of them because blah, blah, blah. And he's trying to suck up to Antifa, and he's getting, you know, they're hitting him with grass blowers, you know, like blowers. And I guess they have batteries or something. But anyway, I mean, they were shoving him around, and he was apologizing because, you know, white privilege.
He has no clue that he's in bed with a cobra. He really doesn't.
No.
And the only answer is for Americans, and I mean Americans of all colors. I don't mean white Americans. I mean Asian Americans. I mean African Americans. I mean anybody who does not want to be communist very quickly needs to focus on not reaction, because reactionary is expected, is wanted. They want a Nazi-type party to push back against. No, refuse to be characterized. Say that you're for the individual, you're for freedom, you're for you're going to act collectively with other people to throw this off, but you are not becoming a fascist. Although fascism also has you talk about communism saying, well, communism just hasn't been done right, and that's why it's killing people. Well, in the beginning, fascism was a very different movement than it became under Mussolini. And there was an individual named D'Annunzio. D'Annunzio was a war hero. He was a poet. He was a playwright. The first principal of the small state that he created within Italy, he had his own little chop or chaz. But its first principle was music. I mean, we're not talking about a guy who was focused on violence or a guy who was focused on power. And what happened to him is at one point he fell out a window and he was injured and he was convalescing. And while he was convalescing, the guy with the number 7 card for his party, he had the first card because it was his party and he created it. The number 7 guy, Mussolini, took over and just ran with the ball and turned things ugly. What he had created was more of a patriotic movement, was more of a movement oriented toward being truly Italian, toward revering everything about Italian history, and he was beloved. And once Mussolini got hold of it, all went wrong. It all became martial. It all became violent. It all became focused on simply material things, making the trains run on time.
Well, we can do something about this before the day everybody votes. And I hate to say this, but we're out of time, but maybe we can do some more about this the week after next or something when you're available. How about that?
I hope so.
Okay. So. Well, thanks everybody. And Mark, so glad you could be on the show with us today, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Power Players Talk Show on buildingfortunesradio.com with Chris Molinari. Up close and personal conversations with powerful and successful people who give our listeners the inside look on what it takes to move from average and ordinary to the top of your game. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear more Power Players Talk Show segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Thanks for listening. Spread the word. Tell a friend. Join our newsletter and go make a difference in your world.